Today on the Travel and Entertainment Guys.
In the travel news, reality TV comes back to the skies and Walmart is now the home of famous works of art.
At 2:15, consumer reporter Christopher Elliott's here to explain why those hotel ratings and reviews may not be all that reliable.
At 2:35, I'll take you to a special small town where indeed it's a wonderful life.
And at 2:50, the Sacramento Capitalaires are here to share the sounds of the season with us.
All that on a jam-packed hour today with the Travel and Entertainment Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. I'm a traveling man.
Hang the road, Jack.
Riding on the city of New Orleans.
Kicks out Route 66.
That's entertainment.
With the show. It's time to get it going. It's a fabulous Sunday. Tom Romano here along with Mark Hoffman from Sports Leisure Vacations with another episode of The Travel Guys. I forgot to mention that coming up at just about a quarter after, my buddy Buzz Holmesing from California Backyard is here, and we're going to explain the difference between those other crummy trees and the world's greatest made lifelike pre-lit tree and exactly how it's done. Buzz goes to China four times a year and they make these, and he's going to explain how
that's
done.
If I didn't know you better,
done.
I would say that was a cheap, blatant plug for a friend of yours, but I would never have accused you of that.
Not just a friend, for quality product.
How are you, Mr. Romano?
I am excellent. Had a great Thanksgiving, as always. Ate too much, and I think it's turkey soup tonight.
You think so? Both of us were on the road last weekend. Big secret.
Yep.
It was a tape show last weekend.
It was. I was in San Antonio, Texas, visiting the youngest.
And I was off in a little town in Pennsylvania that we're going to hear a little bit about later on in the program.
In fact, we couldn't even mention that the show before last
because
it was the...
It was the Christmas Mystery Tour. As Sports Leisure Vacations for 10 years now has been taking people to a destination at Christmas time where they don't know where they're going. And we took 44 people this year, and we went to a really special place. So we're going to talk a little bit more about that today. Chris Elliott is here. The Capitalaires are coming later on. We have got a really busy hour.
And we've got a lot of travel news, a lot of stuff been going on. Let's fire up the Mark Hoffman Trio. With the travel, the news bed there.
Yeah, they're still assembling there.
No, not that one, the other one, the little jazz thing. That's the one. There we go.
It's amazing how those guys can switch gears so quickly.
I know. What's new?
Oh, there is a Walmart museum. Did you hear about this?
No, this is
absolutely true. This is pretty serious stuff. Bentonville, Arkansas.
Will you get pepper sprayed there, too?
I was down in Southern California, and that is, like, all over the news every 20 minutes.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, I know. Anyways, where were we? We're in Bentonville, Arkansas, where Walmart has opened a brand-new museum. This is called the Crystal Bridges Museum of American Art. It is admission-free. It's a new attraction. Bentonville, if you didn't know, is in the northwest corner of Arkansas, literally in the middle of just about nowhere about halfway between Oklahoma City and Little Rock. But anyway, the significant thing about this museum, it has an $800 million endowment from the Walton Family Foundation. Sam Walton, who founded Walmart. So they've got $800 million to work with, and they are in the process of assembling what is going to be one of the world's greatest art collections, and you will be able to see it in Bentonville, Arkansas.
All right.
Southwest Airlines is making a second run at reality TV. If you remember back in 2004 and 5, A&E had a show called Airline, in which Southwest Airlines tried to deal with unruly customers, people who were drunk or oversized or interesting things like that. It was all funny once, but I'm not sure that oversized passengers could be interesting two dozen occasions. But nonetheless, Southwest has begun production on a new reality TV series. The Dallas-based airline announced that the cable television network TLC has ordered 13 half-hour episodes. It was filmed last weekend at the Baltimore, Washington, and Denver International Airports. The broadcast date has not yet been determined.
No baggage fees, no watching fees.
Yeah, exactly. Beware of travel freebies in your email. This is really serious. Now, this is something that comes up every year, but this year, in the last 4 or 5 days, these have popped up all over the place, and the spammers are getting a lot better. At disguising things. If you get an email that says, open this for your free Delta tickets or your free Southwest tickets or any free airline tickets that you weren't necessarily expecting. Congratulations. When you open it, you will find that you don't have the airline tickets, but you do have a virus in your computer.
Oh,
it may be harmless. It may not be harmless. But nonetheless, you can expect to start getting calls and texts from your friends soon wondering if your computer has been hacked. So be very careful. If you get an email that comes out, this one talks about a Delta one, and it just tells you that it's an email notification that the receipt for tickets you supposedly purchased is attached to the email. And so if curiosity gets the better of you and you click on the email and you open the attachment, then that you've crossed the line. So if you're really not sure, then just be careful. There's another one going around with Southwest name on it that just popped up in the last couple of days. I had 18 or 19 of them in my spam box this morning. So if you get that.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, be careful. Be careful. Delta and Southwest.
Well,
are,
someone like you who is constantly buying tickets is going to be getting notices quite frequently. That would be a problem.
That's exactly right. And especially if it says you've won two tickets, you know, click here, or here's the two tickets your grandmother sent to you. Click here to claim them. So just very, very, very careful. It is the latest, and it's the season, I guess. In Europe, they have decided, Tom, I don't know if you know this, but we have two types of body scanning equipment at the airport.
Tell me the difference. I've been through one. And what? By the way, the secret to getting through a body scan or not having to be body scanned, travel with a small dog. We discovered we travel with one. And whoever is holding the small dog
doesn't get body scanned.
No.
Just like a small child.
Yeah, and go through that and go that away.
Well, there's two types of scanners. You step into one and it has kind of a whirring noise and it moves.
And there's another one
you stand in, it's like being between two walls.
Right.
Now, don't ask me which one is the backscatter and which one is the other, and which one is the millimeter technology. But basically, the Europeans have decided that the backscatter technology potentially has some risk to it. And so they have decided that those X-ray scanners are out, and they're only going to accept the millimeter box body scanners from here on in. And so if you ever have a question, you go to the airport and you don't want to go through that thing, first of all, they're being converted so that they can't see your little naked body anymore. They can only see an outline of a person, period. And if there's something anomaly shows up, why then you get to discuss it with the TSA person right there. Oh, wait a minute, I forgot to take my comb out of my pocket.
Right.
Something to that effect. If you don't want to go through one of those scanners, you don't have to. You just tell them you would prefer the alternative. The alternative may be a regular scanner if that's set up at that checkpoint, or it may be a pat down search. You're basically saying I'll take whatever plan B is. But you don't have to go through one of those if you indeed do not want to.
Good information.
I hate those the body scanners because you have to take your belt off. It takes twice as long to reassemble on the other side if you've got to put a belt back on your pants than it does if you don't.
Well, those people that have their pants practically on the ground already, and then you got to take the belt off too. Bad news.
Don't think I want to be there for that. All right, listen. This is the busiest travel day of the year, and a quick look at airport delays will tell you that if you have somebody coming from Boston, New York, or Los Angeles, looks like that those are the only airports with delays right now, and none of them are real serious. Nothing more than about little more than an hour, some low ceilings, and a little bit of weather and fog back east. But even San Francisco has cleared out for the day. So on this very busy travel day, I flew up from Burbank this morning to Sacramento, and once again it happened. Southwest cancels a flight to San Jose. My plane, it was going to San Jose, coming back, and things were kind of yucky in San Jose, so I was glad they did it. But they cancel the flight, and what happens? 120 people get in a line. And really, I just can't emphasize to folks enough. You're in the airport. Your flight is canceled. Dial the 800 number. Get on your computer. Get out your computer, your iPad, whatever it is you have, your smartphone. Go to the airline's website. Find out where the tickets are. Because everybody else who is doing that is snaring the tickets that you won't get if you're in that line. Because by the time you get to the front of the line, there won't be those options and those alternatives won't be available to you. So really something to remember. If you're ever in the airport, your flight gets canceled, immediately go to that 800 number or go to the website. You may be able to solve your own problem on your own.
There you go. So if you're avoiding that new technology, you know what? Don't.
Don't. Yeah, exactly, don't. Thomas, you have a special guest here in the studio
with some Christmas-related
material.
Thank you for the news update. We are the Travel Guys on News Talk 1530 KFBK. And from time to time, you hear me talk about California Backyard on this radio program. And yesterday, we were over at the California Backyard store over on Arden Way, where we are taking donations of your previously your lifelike tree that you just don't use that much anymore. You got any of the, one of those, Mark?
No, I don't. I have a Charlie Brown Christmas tree in my office that's a fake one.
Well, if you ever decide you'd like to pass it on, we collect them at the California Backyard stores along with the Salvation Army and pass them on to new homes along with decorations. So I want to thank the folks that stopped out yesterday and dropped some off. And then this coming Saturday, we're going to be at the store in Roseville at 1529 Eureka Road. Okay, what's coming up, Mark?
We've got Christopher Elliott joining us. We are the Travel Guys here on News Talk 1530 KFBK.
We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys, Mark Hoffman along with Tom Romano here, and one of our regular guests on the program is a gentleman named Chris Elliott. Chris is a consumer reporter. He's the man you call when you've got a gripe with somebody and you need some help. When you've gotten just the dead end, the red flag, they've stopped you. Chris is the guy that you call. He also has a wonderful website where he resolves folks' issues, but one of his best areas, one of his areas of greatest expertise is travel. And Chris joins us on the line now. Good afternoon, Chris.
Hi, how are you doing?
Hi, Chris. What's that number? I've always got a gripe.
Anytime you have my cell phone number, guys.
Okay. Chris, you penned a piece recently in your newsletter where you talked about hotels and about the rating system and about how, you know, for years and years and years in this country, we had really two rating systems. We had AAA and we had the mobile travel guide. And generally, they were not always exactly on, but if you took the two of them, you could get a pretty good feel for where a property fell in that 1 to 5 diamond or star level. Nowadays, we've got all of these websites that have their own arbitrary ideas of what a 3, 4, 5 diamond hotel is, and that's causing some issues, it seems.
Yeah, it is. I mean, have you guys seen the various star ratings offered by, like, Hotwire and Expedia and Orbitz? I mean, everyone has got those. Have you seen them?
Oh, they're unbelievable.
If
you stay in hotels and therefore your commercials are tilted towards the hotel network, you see them about every 15 minutes.
And, you know, Priceline has its own star system. Hotwire has its own star system. And you have to ask yourself, I don't think a lot of people have, but how do they come up with those stars?
Yeah, who's making these decisions, and you know, how accurate is this stuff? Based on what?
Well,
so what's your take?
Interestingly, the way that I got into it was people were going to Priceline and bidding on a hotel, and they were saying, "I want a 4-star hotel," and they were getting a hotel, and they would arrive, look at the AAA guidebook, and it would be only a 3-star or a 2.5-star hotel. And they were going, oh, I've been ripped off by a star.
And the reality is we should tell folks who are not a great advocate or don't read all of these rating systems, the difference between 3 stars and 4 stars is dramatic.
It can be very dramatic.
Yes,
yeah.
Very dramatic.
And you know, it depends. I mean, if you look at the AAA ratings versus the mobile ratings, there's no consistency between the two. I mean, they're not quite an apples to oranges comparison, but they're not exactly the same either. And then, of course, when you add this whole galaxy of star rating systems that the likes of Hotwire and Priceline, and the reason that those Hotwire and Priceline ratings are so important, by the way, is because you're not bidding on a hotel. This is an opaque website. You are actually bidding on a type of hotel. So you're saying, I want a hotel that has these features. And so I'm bidding for like a 4-star hotel. And so the star ratings become very, very important. So,
and the reality is that when you get there and find out that your 4-star hotel is really a 3-diamond hotel,
mm-hmm.
At that point, you really are trusting in that rating system of the online agency that you bought it from.
Yeah. Well, like, let's say you go to a Hotwire and you buy a 3-star room. And then you find out the name of the hotel, because they don't tell you the name until after you've made the purchase and your credit card has been charged. And you find out that it really is really maybe a 2.5 diamond or 2.5 star for AAA. What are your options? Well, you can go back to the website, in this case, your Priceline or Hotwire, and say, I don't like this. This is not what I signed up for. And then they usually come back with an automated response. And I know they're automated because I've seen them. They all look exactly the same, saying, we have someone who goes to these hotels frequently and inspects them, and we stand by our ratings. In a couple of instances, they actually come back and say, you know what? And it's usually when I'm involved, they say, you know what, we've changed our rating on this property. We'll give you a refund. But the point is that there's no consistency at all between these star rating systems and diamond rating systems. They might as well be pulling them out of thin air.
So, Chris, what is a consumer to do? Do you fall back to the AAA ratings? But as you say, you're not going to know who you've got until you've got it. Do you just avoid those websites altogether? I mean, this would be a fairly serious issue for a lot of people, especially since you don't really have any recourse if you accept, if Priceline tells you this is a four diamond hotel and you go there and you disagree, no matter what system you're using. If they're saying that theirs trumps anybody else's, then you're basically going to pay that. You are stuck with that deal.
You're stuck. The way to get around it is to pay close attention to the amenities that are attached to the stars, not to the stars. So knowing that a four-star on Priceline is not the same as a four-star on Hotwire or on Expedia or the same as a four-diamond, you need to look at what you're getting with a four-star on Priceline. And if you're not getting those amenities, then you have a case. Then you can go back and say, you know what, you promised me an in-room coffee maker and you promised, you know, a cable television, or the amenity is promised when you get two or three stars, and I want my money back. And in that case, you really do have a much stronger case than if you say, hey, I signed up for a three-star, and it's not the same as a three-star from AAA or another competing service.
So in this case, really the fine print might be your salvation instead of the thing that does you. And Chris, let me shift gears slightly here. Still talking about hotel ratings, Starwood recently announced that they were going to put ratings for their hotels online. People could rate a hotel and they would put it online. Then it turns out that they said, well, we're not going to put them online until we get at least 5 ratings for an individual property because we're afraid that one rating could really slant people's opinions, which I don't doubt that it could. But what guarantee does a consumer have if a hotel is running a rating blog, website, whatever it is, that the hotel is not skimming the bad ones out and only leaving the good ones in?
There's no guarantee at all. The backstory on this is really fascinating because for years and years, the hotels have watched sites like TripAdvisor become almost all-powerful, to the point where a bad review on TripAdvisor could make or break a hotel. Now the hotels are fighting back. Starwood is putting these user-generated reviews on its website. Travelocity just a few days ago announced that it was going to do the same thing. So we're really moving into a travel industry where you have reviews that are all over the place and each with its own kind of different credibility issues, strengths and weaknesses. Now, in the case of Starwood reviews, you know, Starwood owns Westin, and I'd been contacted by someone who was staying at a Westin and had tried to leave a review and it wasn't accepted. And as it turns out, Starwood has a policy that, and didn't tell anyone that it had this policy, that it has to have at least 5 reviews. And it didn't really, it talked a little bit in its announcement that about being more transparent and wanting everyone to know everything that they could about their hotels. But the truth of the matter was, unfortunately, they had a lot of rules that they were, I wouldn't even say rules, just they were doing things that no one knew about, basically.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Chris, let me ask you, you have a book out that would be of use to perhaps some of our listeners out there, and we are going to link it to our website. So if you're interested in following Chris's blog, he has a newsletter. If you go to travelguysradio.com, we will have all of that information. So if you're out driving around right now or something like that, why, we'll fix you up when you get home. Chris, tell us a little bit about your work and what you do besides just being a travel advocate.
Right. Well, you know, I started off as a travel advocate, but in the last couple of years, I've started advocating for other people, other consumers. So I have a new book coming out. It's called Scammed: How to Save Money and Find Better Service in a World of Schemes, Swindles, and Shady Deals. And yes, the title was so long we had to put it all the way around the whole backside of the book. But cool. It's actually a great, I really am very excited about it. It's a great book. It, for your listeners, it is the kind of book that is going to help them become a better consumer. It explains how consumers have kind of forgotten about how to be good consumers. They don't do their homework, explains exactly what you have to do to become a more informed consumer, and also tells you a little bit about how companies have embraced these very sneaky new tactics to try to separate you from your cash. So it's all explained and it's all revealed in this book, and it makes actually a great holiday gift, too.
Outstanding. If you'd like a copy of Scammed, you can go to travelguysradio.com, click on the link, and that will take you to the world of Christopher Elliott, who is really and truly one of the best consumer reporters in the country. Chris, thanks for taking a little bit of time with us today.
Thanks very much for having me.
Thanks, Chris. You know that this interview and what Chris had to say has just changed the ratings of this show from a 3-star to a 4.5.
Two and a four and a half. We are Mark and Tom, the Travel Guys, on Newstalk 1530 KFBK.
Going places with that sports leisure flair, a world of adventure, and we take you there.
This is your Sports Leisure Travel Club update for Sunday, November 27th. The holiday edition of our newsletter featuring the legendary true story of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer is now available both in printed and online editions. It features some wonderful entertainment-based day trips, including the opportunity to see or hear legendary performers like Jack Jones, Lily Tomlin, Judy Collins, Lorna Luft, and Marvin Hamlisch. Springtime tour packages include Ashland's Chocolate Festival and baseball spring training in March. Hearst Castle, the National Road from Baltimore to St. Louis and Pismo Beach in April. There's even a trip on the Coast Starlight, a rail adventure up the Pacific Coast. Become a part of our travel club for free. Just go to sportsleisure.com or call us at 361-TOUR. That's 361-8687. Today's Lucky Travel Club members are Karen Anderson and Mary Kroger. Karen Anderson and Mary Kroger, you have until the close of business Tuesday to call Sports Leisure Vacations and claim $100 in travel cash just for listening to the Travel Guys. And that is your Sports Leisure Travel Club update for today. Welcome back to the Travel Guys. Foggy Sunday afternoon. Poor Erin, her tongue got tangled up there, and
hey,
she was going to fall through the window.
I can appreciate that.
I can understand that, absolutely.
Well, welcome back, folks. Mark Hoffman there, Tom Romano here. Hope you're having a fabulous Sunday. You know, one of my favorite TV shows is It's a Wonderful Life at Christmas time, and of course, that's Jimmy Stewart, and every time you hear the bell and an angel gets its wings and all of that. Well, Mark, bless his heart and that of all of his travelers, are so fortunate to have actually traveled to the land of Jimmy Stewart. Tell me about this excursion,
Mark. I mentioned earlier in the program, every year Sports Leisure Vacations takes a group on a Christmas mystery tour. We go to a destination. The folks who are, before they leave, mystery tours
this
are quite
crazy,
popular
folks.
With our company. Basically what it amounts to is you give the travel company your money and you say, take me to wherever it is that you're going to take me. Tell me what the weather's going to be ahead of time and give me kind of a general idea of what to pack. And after that, it's give me a few clues and I might be able to probably not figure it out.
You know, I've wandered into a movie theater a couple of times with no idea what the film was going to be about and was okay with that scenario.
But you probably didn't pay, $2,500 for it.
No, and then, you know, literally just packing up and going somewhere.
Would you believe
some of the
people who are on this trip have been on all 10 of these trips.
Boy,
so, anyways, this year, in previous years, one year we went to Santa Claus, Indiana. We've been to all kinds of different funky and unique places. We saw the Boston Pops concert one year as part of the mystery tour. But this year we decided to do something really interesting and different, and we went to Indiana, Pennsylvania, which is a small little town of about 14,000 northeast of Pittsburgh by about an hour. So upstate Pennsylvania on the west side of the Alleghenies. And the distinction that Indiana, Pennsylvania holds, it is a hometown of Jimmy Stewart.
There you go.
And this little town bears
a fairly interesting resemblance to Bedford Falls, other than the fact that we're now, this is 2011, and that was, of course, set in the 1940s.
Now, was that an intent when they made the movie to make it a little bit like
Jimmy
Stewart's
hometown?
No, the
movie was actually made on a, as we found out while we were there, in Indiana, Pennsylvania, it's made on was made on a big sound set in Los Angeles, and in fact, those scenes with all the snow were shot in the middle of a heat wave in Southern California that
year.
Heck
of a job.
But we get to this little town, and the concept was they have It's a Wonderful Life festival. So on the weekend before Thanksgiving, last weekend, they have a parade on Friday night, and they have a lot of activities and different things going on. So we went to be a part of this small town festival. When we got there, we had a lunch. We met Harvey the rabbit. Remember Harvey the
sure.
invisible rabbit? Well, you can only see Harvey if you're in Jimmy Stewart's hometown. That's the only place that Harvey is visible.
He's visible.
Yeah. So you have to kind of buy into this a little bit. We met George Bailey, impersonator who plays Jimmy Stewart's character from the movie.
Sure.
Exactly. And then we took part. We were to take part in the parade that they hold to celebrate It's a Wonderful Life festival every year in Jimmy Stewart's hometown. So the mayor comes in, and we're having dinner in this restaurant. The mayor comes in, and he's reading this proclamation that proclaims it as Sports Leisure Vacations Day in this little town.
Oh,
and we're thinking,
cool.
This is really pretty cool. And then he says, and because of this, you know, it is hereby proclaimed that the Grand Marshal in the parade shall be Mark Hoffman.
Oh, there. Yeah.
So something I didn't see coming, which was just a lot of fun. We went out and some of our folks got into the back of hay wagons, and here was Mark out strutting down the street with the mayor and all of this kind of jazz. And we just had a lot of fun. We turned on the Christmas lights at the city hall after the little parade. And I swear, Tom, if you take this little town of Indiana, Pennsylvania, and you walk out to the street corner as people are kind of going home for the evening, and for a minute you pretend that the cars are not recent model cars, you could be in Bedford Falls. It's amazing. And the people in this little town, I have to tell you, for 3 days, fussed over us. Of course, the local news media made us stars.
Wow.
All these folks who came all the way from California, had no idea where they were going, paid all of this money, kind of, I guess, was
film at 11.
An interesting story. And then they followed us all over the place as we went and got our reactions and kept reporting that to people on the radio and the newspaper. By the time we got to the end of the second day, everywhere we went, people knew who we were. Oh, that's the tour group from California. And you'd go into a restaurant and people would just, I mean, because people, and I'm going to say Midwest, and you're going to think, gee, Pittsburgh, why would that be Midwest? And to me, everything on this, on the west of the Alleghenies is the Midwest until you get to the Rockies. That's all Midwest, because it's people who act very differently than people do on the East Coast. Life is slower. They'll stop to say hello, to say good morning, to ask how are you, and really mean it. And that's the kind of people that live in Indiana, Pennsylvania. It's very rare that a town embodies the personality of its favorite son or daughter. I would suggest you Abilene, Kansas is one, Dwight Eisenhower's hometown, having been there. But this little town in Pennsylvania where Jimmy Stewart's father had a hardware store on Main Street is absolutely...
He really did. Jimmy Stewart's dad...
His dad had a hardware store on Main Street, and now there's a Jimmy Stewart museum there. And if you stand on the corner in Indiana, Pennsylvania, you press the Don't Walk button... Rich Little will impersonate Jimmy Stewart's voice and tell you whether or not it's safe to cross the street or not. So it's, you know, there are tens of thousands of small towns all over the country, and lots of them are incredibly wonderful, and I've been to not as many as I hope to get to in my lifetime. But this one in Pennsylvania, this little town of Indiana, Pennsylvania, to me, they promote themselves as the Christmas tree capital of the world, and indeed it is one of the biggest Christmas tree places in the country. It is just a really, really special. They have captured the spirit of something that, I don't know, it's you have to go there. And if you ever get to Pittsburgh, I strongly recommend to you that you take a little bit of time and you head out to Indiana, Pennsylvania. It'll take you about an hour and a half to get there. And if you have the whole day and you're lucky, have a little extra time, you can do what we did. And we one day went an hour further from Indiana and just an hour past Indiana's little town of Punxsutawney.
Oh, you know, didn't go see the Phil.
We went to Punxsutawney, had lunch at the Punxsutawney Country Club. They brought Phil out. Of course, now you have to understand that this is the wintertime, and Phil sleeps.
Mm-hmm.
So here's a groundhog who was hibernating until about half an hour ago, and now he's out making a public appearance. So put yourself in that position and imagine how you would react. And so Phil was there for pictures. They were able to take us out to Gobbler's Knob.
Try saying that three times fast, especially if you had something to drink. But show it. It was a 55 degree day. It was a perfect day. They told us all about the ceremony. The guys were all decked out in their Groundhog Club costumes and all of that kind of stuff. It was really a treat, a part of the country that most people will probably never get to. We've always watched, I'm sure you have, the Groundhog Day, mm-hmm. see his shadow thing on TV or
right.
see it in the newspaper.
Of course, a lot of people now, it's all about the Bill Murray movie, Groundhog Day.
And do you know that after that movie came out was when they had their biggest crowd ever?
I can believe that. Yeah.
And all the stories about, they opened the gates for that event at 3 o'clock in the morning. Remember, it's February the 2nd, and we're talking northern Pennsylvania, so it's not going to be warm. And then people go out at 3 in the morning and wait until 7:30 when this whole thing takes place, mm-hmm. and then this little town, Punxsutawney, is smaller than Indiana. So when you put 10 or 15,000 people out there,
you've doubled the size of the community.
You've literally doubled the size of the community. So just a little bit of, I guess this is perhaps a way of, I don't know that this is necessarily going to make it back to the folks in Indiana, but if you're, like I said, if you're ever in the neck of that neck of the woods and have the opportunity to stop by and say hello, you could do a lot worse. It is a really, really, really special place. Indeed, it is a location where it is a wonderful life in Indiana, Pennsylvania. That's what they say. They certainly showed 46 people from Sacramento an incredibly wonderful time last week and made us feel very special. And I've been doing this for I've been taking people on the road for 32 years, and I can't remember ever going somewhere and really feeling as welcome as we did in that little town last week.
What a wonderful story and a wonderful life. And if you're lucky enough, folks, I've probably mostly sold out. Contact Sports Leisure Vacations.
We're going on another mystery tour at Christmas next year.
And who knows where. Going to be tough to beat that.
Not to Jimmy Stewart's home. We're going for our first time next year ever. We're going to a warm weather destination for our Christmas mystery tour.
The wetting the appetite.
Yeah, there you go.
All right. Coming up on the other side of the break, right here on the Travel and Entertainment Guys, we're going to change gears and go entertain. Some big doings at Christmas time here in Sacramento, we're going to tell you
about. Some good Christmas music, and we've even got two free tickets for you to win. So stay by the telephone, Ooh. And right after this break, we're going to introduce you to some great Christmas music here on the Travel and Entertainment Guys.
Well,
you are invited to sing along. Santa Claus coming to town. The vocal stylings of the Capitol Airs, is that right?
Or maybe the American River
Blair. That was who was that?
That was the American River Chorus.
Oh, never mind. American River Chorus. That's we have.
Leave it to the travel guys. If it's multiple choice, we'll get it wrong.
Rich Brenner from the American River Chorus and Blair Reynolds from the Capitol Airs actually sings with both. Is that right?
That's correct.
Have joined us in studios, guys. Thanks for coming in. Sounded pretty good. How many folks in that group?
That's 72 guys singing in the
72,
recording.
And that explains why we chose to not come in and do this live.
That's right.
Earlier I asked Mark, why do we have this recording? Can't we? He said, well, I think there may be too many.
Yeah, it's for people who haven't been here to the KFPK studios, 72 would be about 65 more people than we could fit in here on a good day. Guys, welcome to the Travel and Entertainment Guys.
Thank you, Mark.
The Capitol Airs have been a part of the Sacramento community for how long?
65 years.
Wow.
We always put on a great show, very entertaining, and we are pleased to be in conjunction this time with the American River Chorus, a brand new, exciting, and champion chorus.
Now, every year you guys put on a holiday show.
That's right.
And so this year is no different, but this year you have, Rich, a really... a more diverse, perhaps, lineup than sometimes. Usually it's mostly a cappella music.
Yep.
And it is, it, and that is the featured performing art this year, but you've got some more things going
on.
Yeah,
we expanded a little bit this year. We're trying to go a little bit beyond just straight barbershop, primarily staying in the a cappella realm, but reaching out a little bit more into the community and inviting onto the stage a few other groups around town, many of which are well known and have their own audiences. And we thought we'd bring them all together for a big holiday brouhaha.
And who would that be?
We've got a few groups. In addition to the American River Chorus and the Capital Airs, we've got RSVP, a really well-known group around town, have kind of handpicked the best singers in town all together.
Mm-hmm.
And a group called the Oasis Chamber Choir, which is a relatively new group.
Yeah, they're really exciting, too. They're a Russian college-age evangelical choir, and we have had them on our shows before, and they are outstanding. They really are.
Yeah. And then, in addition, we've got one group that'll be non-a cappella music, which is a brass quintet from Sac State, and should be really fun.
Now, have you guys had that? Done that variation before where you've brought in?
This is the first year. This is the first year we've done that. Usually, you know, it tends to be purely barbershop when we have our shows. And this year we're trying to expand it a little bit, reach out and into the community and provide a little more variety.
Now, this show is coming up very soon. It's next Sunday afternoon.
Next Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock. And, at Cosumnes Oaks High School down in Elk Grove, which is actually real close by here. It's only about 11 miles down south of Highway 50.
Now, have you performed at that location before?
We haven't, but it's a great facility. It's about 3 years old, the Performing Arts Center right down there, and we're just excited to be there.
All holiday music, right?
All holiday music.
Okay, so I want to let you know it is an afternoon show at 3 in the afternoon. There is only one performance, correct?
Correct.
So, yeah, you don't want to miss this. Let's see.
We have a couple of tickets, too.
I was going to say, is there a chance people could get some tickets, here on this radio show?
Well, they could.
How are we going to do that?
Well, there's a couple of ways they could do that. First of all, they can go to travelguysradio.com and they'll find a link to the site that will allow you to purchase tickets for the show.
Okay.
So travelguysradio.com, and if you're driving around Sacramento, remember at the end of the show you can always go to our website and pick up any of the things that we've talked about during the program. All the links will be there. The other way that you could get tickets is if you went to your telephone right now and dialed 921-1530 or 1-800-834-1530 and told our lovely call screener why you deserve to win two tickets to go to this concert next week. Now, remember, the concert is next Sunday, December the 4th at 3 o'clock in Elk Grove. So if you're not available next Sunday at 3 o'clock in Elk Grove, then it would probably be best for you not to call in and try to ask for the tickets.
And if you do get the tickets, then you will be instructed to go to the Sports Leisure office.
We'll get them to you next week. Just call us
or
right
Mark
now.
Mark will bring them personally to your house.
Exactly. 921-1530 or 1-800-834-1532. Two tickets to go see the American River Chorus and the Sacramento Capital Airs next weekend in their holiday celebration concert at the Cosumnes Oaks High School Performing Arts Center. And those tickets will go to the first person to convince our call screener that you really, really, really want to go. And you're going to get to hear some really outstanding music. Now, the Capital Airs have been around, Blair, you said, for 65 years in Sacramento. You guys do more than one show a year.
Yeah, we usually do two main shows a year, and we also do a number of performances throughout. We've been singing at the Sacramento Jazz Jubilee for a number of years on the Memorial Day type programs, and around in a number of residential facilities, the senior living centers, things of that nature, churches.
If somebody wanted to become a member and join,
we'd love it.
Either one of the courses, what's the process? Do you have to audition? How do we? What should we tell folks?
Well, I think the easiest thing to do is to tell them to come down to a practice session for either one of us. The Capital Airs meet on Tuesday nights at the Sierra Arden Church at the corner of Northrop and Morse. Every Tuesday night at 7 o'clock. And Rich,
and
you want to give the
ARC, the American River Chorus, meets on Thursday nights out at the Collings Teen Center in West Sacramento. And there is an audition process, but in general, you know, we have guys come out and experience it for a few weeks and see what it's all about and get a chance just to sing. And then if they decide they want to actually join, then we walk them through the process.
But this doesn't all happen by accident. I mean, this is it takes a lot of practice and a lot of work. And a cappella music is not something that you just stumble into, walk on the stage, and bingo, everybody, you've got harmony.
Well, that's correct. But I also have to tell you, it's an awful lot of fun. It's the most fun hobby I've ever had in my life, more fun than anything I've had other than having my rights read to me.
Rich, you mentioned the guys come out. This is an all guys thing, right?
It is an all guys.
So about the ladies, what organization or what singing?
Yeah, good
group
question. There is a sister organization, if you will, which is Sweet Adeline's International.
Okay.
And there's a chorus here in town,
the Sacramento Valley Chorus.
Sacramento Valley Chorus. If you're a lady and you want to sing four part harmony, look them up online, and I'm sure you'll find them.
They have a great website and all the directions on how to get to their practices.
Are you the kind of guys that when it comes time to sing Happy Birthday, it's got to be in tune?
And it'll probably have harmony going with it.
There you go. And at Christmas time, when you gather around the tree for that caroling, there is some sort of organization.
Yes, indeed.
You know, because I think most families will agree, and most folks will agree, the song sung out of tune most frequently on a regular basis is Happy Birthday.
Absolutely.
And at Christmas time, nobody has the lyrics. And you got Uncle Jack, who's going to try to lead people in a little Christmas caroling that turns out badly.
Uncle Jack has perhaps had a little Jack before the caroling starts.
That explains it.
And what was it that Johnny Carson said? Thanksgiving and Christmas is the time of the year when you go visit family that you haven't seen for a year to remind yourself why you only see them once a year or something like that. Yeah. Yeah. So your concerts, how many people generally come to, and it looks like we have a winner for the tickets, so if you're trying to call and get the tickets, why they have now been given away. How many people generally come for a concert like this?
Well, it varies according to the size of the facility, obviously, but typically it'll be anywhere between 500 and 800 people.
Yeah, and our big show every year, you know, in the spring, for the American River Chorus, we have about 1,500 people show up.
Right.
It's a much bigger venue.
Are these both not-for-profit groups?
Correct.
Yeah.
And do folks pay to be a part of? I mean, is there a...
There is a dues structure that goes with the National Barbershop Harmony Society, actually the International Barbershop Harmony Society, and yet it's very modest in cost.
Yeah, most of the income comes from performances and donations.
And I also should point out that as part of Barbershop's gift back to the community, most barbershop performances are very reasonably priced. In this particular case, for example, the best seats in the house, the VIP tickets, are only $25, and general admission $15 for adults and $10 for students.
So it's an event that you could easily take the family to.
Absolutely.
And enjoy a leisurely afternoon. And you invite families to come to your
events. Nothing really kicks off the holiday season like a good Christmas musical performance. I know, even if it's not the Trans-Siberian Orchestra. Just kidding. Big TSO fan.
All right. This is the American River Chorus and the Sacramento Capital Airs. It is next Sunday, 3 o'clock.
Holiday celebration.
At the Consumnes Oaks High School Performing Arts Center. Rich and Blair, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.
And telling us a little bit about this. The Capital Airs have long been a favorite group of mine in the community. There are certain things. Tom, when we were back in Indiana, Pennsylvania, mm-hmm. last weekend,
right.
we were entertained by the Sweet Adeline. Which is the local Sweet Adeline's chapter, which is the female version, if you will.
The sisters.
The sisters, yeah. And they did a wonderful job, did some Christmas music for us and with a couple of really interesting choreographical twists. And we really enjoyed them. And I immediately thought of you guys that you were going to be here. So thank you for coming in and sharing a few minutes with us this Sunday. Thomas, that brings us just about to the end of a travel guide. If you liked the Capital Airs music, don't go away because we have another little snippet to play for you here at the end of the program. We will be back with you again next Sunday. You're going to be in town?
I will be. I'll be here, and we'll be firing it up again at 2 o'clock next week right here on 1530 KFBK. Folks, thanks for joining us. Don't forget Christmas music all the time now at Classic 93.1 on your FM dial. Join us anytime during the week.
And remember, we are the Travel Guys, and an hour a week is all we ask. You have a nice week. Be careful if you're out there Christmas shopping. Drive carefully. Be nice to each other. We'll take you out with a little music here from the Capitol Airs and the American River Chorus. You have a nice week, and we'll see you next Sunday, right here on KFBK.
See you now.
Bells are ringing, children singing. Christmas time is near.